I'm Jennifer Weigel. Joining me on the conversation today is Sonia Choquette, an internationally renowned author, speaker, intuitive, healer. I would say she aligns businesses, she aligns individuals, she helps a lot of people. And 19 books, Sonia? Have you gotten to 20 yet? Am I missing one?
Oh no, it's a little overdue.
Well,
but
it's okay.
You've been busy.
My goodness, you have. And you're calling us from Paris because that is your second love, would you say, or your first love? Is that your first love over Chicago?
Oh, you know what? I've always loved Paris. I went to school here. I've been coming and going for years. It's a beautiful city. It lifts my spirit. But I'm back in Paris, or I'm back in Chicago all the time.
Oh, always, because you have to teach us and help us elevate. And we're so grateful for that, because as I know from knowing you now, I want to say I was doing a math in my head, Sonia, when we first met, and it was 2001, and it was after 9/11, and I was hosting a talk show on WLS Radio, which is in Chicago. And this is the same station that hosted Rush Limbaugh, to give you an idea of how not spiritually enlightened they are, or were, rather, at the time. I don't know if they've changed much since, but to have you on talking about being a psychic and your intuition, it was really groundbreaking for them at the time. How does it feel now? Here we are 15 years later. I feel grateful that it is more accepted. I think it's much more common for people to mention the word psychic or intuition, and thanks in part to people like you. Does it feel that way for you as well, that things are slowly evolving or quickly evolving?
I think that they've evolved, but I've also realized that we have to be sort of watching our language.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, psychic is such a provocative and alarming and, quite frankly, feminine word.
Sure.
That people are still extremely uncomfortable with it. So if we say intuitive, if we change the language so people don't feel so threatened,
mm-hmm.
then I'm traveling and discussing in a lot more open conversations than I ever thought possible. So I'm willing to make the adjustment.
That's good. And that's helpful because, as you mentioned, psychic kind of puts this label on intuition in a way that a lot of people shut the door and they don't open it again. And I think that's unfortunate because the word shouldn't, you know, provoke that kind, but it does. And so here we are in this world. You know, I have a lot of friends who say, oh, you know, I have mother's intuition, but that's it. They discount their gifts all the time. And I think we're all born slightly intuitive, but it's just you have to develop it. Isn't that the case?
Well, absolutely. It's like being born with a musical ear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being born with a you know, kind of a physical sense of aptitude. You know, our intuition is the voice of our soul, which is why psychic is such an accurate word.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do is we need to begin to recognize that I have this innate soul core intelligence. It doesn't speak English. It doesn't speak a foreign language. It speaks vibration.
Right.
I feel energy, and my energy is informing.
Right.
And the more I pay attention and give validity to that informing energy, and the more I honor and respect it, the more I can direct my life to be in alignment with my true authentic self.
Yes.
And it is a soulful quality. It is not an intellectual quality. So if we need to dumb it down too much or sterilize it too much, we still lose connection.
Yes.
So I'm willing to let the door open with the word intuitive, but then we'll go deeper and say, you know, what is your soul? What is your deeper inner awareness telling you? And why are you ignoring it?
Yes.
Who are you turning your energy over to? What authority figure are you still enslaved to? Because no authority figure is going to be responsible for you. Only you and your choices.
So there's an interesting term there, authority figure. You know, a lot of people that I know who are intuitive predicted a different outcome for the election in the United States with Hillary winning versus Trump. And there's this thing called free will that comes into play, and then there's random chaos. What do you think was going on for our collective consciousness for these results to happen, Sonia?
Well, I think a number of things were going on. It's not a linear answer. I think on one level, the collective shadow mm-hmm. came to the surface. I think what actually surfaced isn't new, just was able to lurk in the background and was not seen. And so I'm grateful mm-hmm. because you cannot heal what we do not recognize.
Sure.
I still think the world is extremely patriarchal.
Yep.
I don't think that we were yet ready as a collective consciousness to surrender to our own heart and soul. So why would we surrender to an external figure
right.
that would represent? And then quite honestly, as much as we all ended up with Hillary, even she left us questioning.
Yes.
And so, you know, there was a tremendous ambivalence around that. And then on top of it, it reflects a lot of our passivity.
Sure.
And so all of this means we got to step in, step up, take responsibility, and nobody's a victim here.
No. I mean,
where we are, and
yes.
what do we do with it now? What kind of awareness are we going to apply now?
Correct. Yes. Paul Selig was on the program, Chandler, and he was saying that there is nothing that is in existence that we have not agreed to on some sort of cellular and soul level, right? So this...
Absolutely. We agreed mm-hmm. to not being that willing
yes.
to dive that deep yet.
Yes.
But with this win, all of a sudden, everybody's rethinking that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I'm grateful.
And that could create more community and more spirituality as a result, couldn't it?
Well, we see the words love now more than ever.
Yes.
We see people coming together. We definitely need to say that the me against them consciousness is an illusion that needs to cease.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no me and there is no them and there is just us. And we're all on this boat called planet Earth. And we better recognize that that's the reality
yeah.
that we have to live with. So how are we going to solve the divisiveness? And frankly, without your intuition playing into the factor, the ego keeps us separated. So we are being invited to wake up to sixth sense if we are going to move forward. And mm-hmm. I really hope we do. I hope people are upset enough to start looking at their own approach to things.
Yeah. In fact, that's what I'm finding a lot in the social media threads that I'm reading from people is that they're not going to be these passive supporters where they just donate and click and go on with their lives. They're going to get off the couch and they're going to go down and volunteer at the soup kitchens. And they're going to really be proactive with what it is that they give back, because it's no longer where we can just sit in our homes with the doors deadbolted and think that we are part of a community. That's not how it's going to work. That's not
Absolutely.
How we're going to go higher. Right.
And nor can we talk about higher ideals and unconditional love
mm-hmm.
and listening to my spirit while we're pointing guns at somebody else who has the same breath that gives them life as we do.
Right.
We have to take a conscious step into, like Gandhi said, be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, stop. Don't tell me about your offensiveness. What have you done? And what part of your own soul are you ignoring?
Right.
Let's not just project this outwardly. This is a mirroring of our collective consciousness internally. What are we, a conscious world in America where we have the most freedom to be that or not?
You know, I really, when we last spoke, it was for your book, Walking Home, where you talk about doing the Camino. And I love a lot of your writing, Sonia, but that book really spoke to me. And it's because I feel like I've been called to do that walk. I have yet to be able to make it happen with my 10-year-old and you know, working for myself and all of these things. But I just know someday I will be walking the Camino. Have you been back since you went and took that journey? Or are you going to take like a decade-long break?
No. I actually walked it twice.
Okay. Yes.
Already.
Mm-hmm.
And from the outpouring of that, my original life that set me on the Camino fell apart,
mm-hmm.
completely dissolved, as it was supposed to.
Right.
Not as I wanted, not as it felt good, but as on a deep soul level I knew was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it has catapulted me out of every level of soul agreement where I was settling for less than was really my own truth because of my idealism.
Right, right.
You know, since the Camino, I got a divorce. I didn't want it.
Right.
But it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I left my, I gave up everything I physically owned and walked away from it. I didn't want that, but it has been the most liberating thing on the other side. I faced every fear, every ideal, and I had to show up to every single thing that was real, and I'm in the middle of it. But I'm alive and in alignment with my spirit.
Wow.
And that's worth it.
Yeah. That's perfect. In fact, I can relate to a lot of that, having gone through a divorce that I didn't want, and then you lose the house, and then you found, oh wait, and now the vacation house is gone, and all these things that brought me, quote,
and your identity,
comfort. Yes, your identity.
I had a 30-year married identity, and all of a sudden I didn't know who I was.
Right. There you are. You're alone on the couch.
Yes. And you know what? It was something that perhaps kept me committed to something that wasn't good for me way too long, not wanting to be alone on the couch. But now that I am alone, I like my own company.
Yeah.
I'm not driven by any level of fear. And I think what's happening to everybody collectively is, like it or not, you're alone on the couch.
Right.
It's between you and you at this point. Are you showing up? Because no fingers pointing are going to get you any sort of sympathy.
That's exactly right. And you know, I love the title of the answer is simple. Love yourself, live your spirit. Another one of your books. But that whole loving yourself piece, I have a chapter in my third book that sort of came from my divorce, that book called This Isn't the Life I Ordered. But actually, of course, it is the life I ordered because it took me here. But one of the chapters is Love Yourself, Don't Leave Yourself. As I was sitting on the couch and looking at old wedding photos and feeling sorry for myself and seeing how my identity shifted and all of these things, I went into the kitchen to pour myself another glass of wine that I really didn't need. And I heard loud and clear in my ear, love yourself, don't leave yourself. And it was so...
I love that.
It was so jarring, Sonia, but it was also like, oh my God, now I'm hearing voices? But I know that was my higher self, that was my guides, that whatever it was. It was my intuition. It was something giving me a warning bell.
So I want to ask you, did you hear it in your head, or where in your body did you hear it?
I heard it in my head. It was like, you know, I've talked with a few different intuitives about this, and they're like, well, I want to know, was it clairaudience, or was it a clairsentience, like a knowing, or a claircognizance, rather?
At any point, you heard it.
Yes.
But you still had to make a choice about where that was going to settle in your life.
Yes.
Is it going to roll out like eggs on Teflon and go out the door, or was it going to settle into your bones?
Yeah. And that's what it was. That's only happened to me one other time before, when I had a job shift and I was walking out on Michigan Avenue, kind of cursing the sky and going, why did this happen? And as I was looking out at the Chicago River, I heard the same thing. It said, you got too comfortable. We have plans for you. It was like, what?
Yes.
Whoa, that was great. Okay, same exact voice. Very, very clear. Very, you know, and I turned behind me because I thought maybe there was a homeless man talking to me. That's how clear it was.
I've had that experience. So
yeah.
I believe, I understand that.
Yeah.
That is your higher self.
That's what that is. Nice. I wondered what that was.
But here's the thing that I want to encourage everybody who's listening, because more and more and more people are having these moments. And here's what I suggest. Stop needing to know.
Right.
Just ask yourself, does this feel true? Not right.
Mm-hmm.
True. Does this feel true for me? Not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me.
Right.
In this moment, and if it does, go with it. Lean into it instead of sit and have a long dialogue with it.
Right.
But what is that? What's that? Because we need to start embodying the fullness of our wisdom, our insight, and we need to start allowing our deeper self to have an influence on us.
Yeah.
Without all this, you know, kind of put it on the tribunal of our brain.
I also think, too, you were talking about sitting on the couch. You know, we have to be comfortable in the silence with no activity, no social media, no glass of wine, no chocolate cookie, no shopping, no drugs. Just really being okay with the beat of your heart as you sit there in silence. And it's not common.
Not encouraged.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that's interesting. I have a friend named Sam Horn who wrote a beautiful, among many books, she wrote a book called Got Your Attention. Mm-hmm. And she told me that the average attention span of people today is 7 seconds.
Wow. Oh, geez.
How on earth are we going to hear and tune in to the deeper truth of who we are if we let that addictive, externally oriented, got to check the email, got to check this, got to do the selfie, got to look at the, you know, the news, got to look at the text.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting because it says at some point in the Bible, it says, you know, the one-eyed beast was going to come. And I think it's your telephone.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you keep going back and keep going back. It's like, I'm just looking at that. I'm missing everything else.
Yeah, it's true.
We've got to start, you know, the path to higher awareness isn't the yellow brick road to the Emerald City, la, 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 this is a sweet and easy bypass to a difficult life. It's actually learn to dance in the fire.
Yeah.
Be authentic, be real, and let your life matter enough that you're not going to throw it away to a mean drivel.
Mm. And for those who are listening, Sonia, and I mean, I encourage anybody who's listening to sign up for classes. You can go to soniachoquette.net. That's spelled SoniaChoquette.net. There are classes on intuition and forgiveness, 8 weeks to getting your mojo back. But I'm curious, you write about and ask your guides connecting to your divine support system. How can people, just as they're driving in their car, what do you recommend that they do to tune into that higher self so they don't have to, you know, kind of feel like they're slapped in the face with a tragic circumstance to hear that inner knowing, to hear that inner wisdom that's trying to tap away at their door all the time?
Well, I think the first thing to do, and it's a tool I have in many of my books, is called empty the garbage.
Yeah.
So when you're driving along, first thing you need to do is I encourage everybody to turn off your radio.
Yeah.
And then just be aware of your head and first notice what it feels like. When you are in your intellect and your fear body and your ego body, just pay attention. The energy is contracted. There's not a lot of breath in it. There's not a lot of room. It's agitated and fear-based.
Yeah.
But then empty the garbage. Just start saying out loud what you fear. I'm afraid I'm not going to get the job right. I'm afraid I'm going to not be loved. I'm afraid I won't make the sale. I'm afraid I'm too fat. I'm afraid I'm too bald. I'm afraid nobody loves me. I'm afraid I blew it. I'm afraid I'm with the wrong guy. I'm afraid. And just say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hiding those fears and playing hide and seek with them instead of just saying, those are my fears. But that's it. They're not facts.
Right.
And pretty soon, you've emptied the garbage. There's no more.
Right.
And then you take a deep breath in and exhale like you're blowing out 10 birthday candles, two or three times.
Nice.
Just completely letting go. And the third breath in, fourth breath in, open your heart with the sound, ah. Oh.
Mm.
You can feel it in your body. You drop into the heart and then say out loud, and my heart says, an answer. And my heart says, and speak it out. And my heart says, and speak it out. Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go back up to your head. You don't have to listen to your heart. You don't have to follow it, but at least give it a voice.
True.
And then pay attention to how your body feels. It will relax.
Yeah.
And that's how you know it's true guidance.
By how your body relaxes into it?
Yes, it relaxes. The space opens up instead of contracts. The agitation gets quiet, even if you don't like what you're hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a physical shift.
And that's the thing about the body and the spirit and the connection. I did Kundalini yoga this morning for the first time in, 6 months. It's been a real long time. And there's this breath of fire exercise where you're holding your arms up and you're doing the... And you're breathing deep from your belly. And it really gets the circulation flowing through the whole body. And I felt like I had 2 pots of coffee just from that 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And that's oxygen.
Just oxygen in your body. And I think about that and how people are popping Adderall. And, you know, they're doing all of these things to get the feeling that they would get if they took care of the mind, body, spirit.
Right. See, that's the thing. You have to just, you know, we are a heady society.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to do is get into your body to listen to your intuition.
Right.
You want to get into your body because it is your body that holds the power. Because it is in your heart, in your core, in your center of your body.
Right.
And that's how it works out.
So for you, when you keep your body in, you're in great shape. I know you dance. Is it Pilates and yoga and a whole combo platter of things to keep your body moving? I know some people who are addicted to running, but movement is really a big piece of, you know, some people think
it's an essential piece.
Yes, yes.
It's not even optional. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to move.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're in a wheelchair and you don't have the liberty to be mobile, you can move through your breath like you did with the breath of fire. You can sing.
Yes.
That's another way to move. But every way that you can keep moving the energy.
Right.
Keep moving the breath, keep moving the voice, keep moving the body, keep moving the fingers, the limbs, keep walking. You don't have to go numb out in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Just realize you don't want to be a landfill of negative energy. You want to keep moving.
So the negative energy piece, I've talked a lot about this, and we interviewed Judith Orloff about energy vampires before. The people that you keep in your company have a big reflection on how, you know, you live your life. I think that they can bleed in, even if we think, oh, that's not affecting me. It really is, isn't it? Those negative people that are...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, here's why. Because we share what are called mirror neurons.
Okay.
Our energies jump between one another. We are not truly isolated. Now, if you're not in your body, which most people aren't, then squatters move in.
Mm-hmm.
So you might think you're sparring when being so, you know, I got to handle. You walk away, you're going to have the other person's energy in your body if your energy's not in your body.
Got it.
And also, the people whose company you keep do reflect what is your true energy.
Yeah.
So you might say, I'm all that spiritual, but if you are surrounded by negative people, then that is your shadow. What will happen is if you're really getting into your body and you're really getting the energy is one of two of your spirit, one of two things will happen. You'll either, with your own beautiful energy and sense of humor and laughter and creativity, elevate their energy, or you actually will leave.
Yeah.
But if you're going to sit and hold court with all of this, it really is where you are, too.
Yeah. And that's
tough to hear, but it's the truth.
So for all of you listening out there, just take a little check right now of the 5 people you spend the most time with and think about how you feel after you leave their company. If you feel sick to your stomach or sad or exhausted, chances are they're draining your energy and not helping you rise above, and that you are then matching their energy when you're with them in their presence. Wouldn't that be right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I tell my students, because words are one thing, but if we give people stronger words and stronger images, then we'll remember. And I say, be allergic to negativity.
Right. Yeah.
Don't just say, oh, we shouldn't be on. Just like, I'm allergic to that.
That's perfect.
Then you're going to have a stronger, aha, I'm allergic to that. That's not good for me.
That's right.
It's that is actually really bad for me. I got to get away from this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people in my family know that I have a circle with a line through it for a lot of that stuff. And for the people that have left my life, it's because they can't adjust to my vibration. They just don't. They don't want to move where they are. They don't want to rise up and they don't want to move down. They just want to just get out.
Right. And you know what? I invite, when I teach my workshops, I tell people, we're not learning unless we're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here to make you miserable for the next hour. And anybody who wants to leave right now, I invite you to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to talk you into it. Right. I'm not going to talk you into showing up for yourself. You're not showing up for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. But do you show up for yourself?
Yeah.
Are you willing to be uncomfortable enough to learn something new, to try something new, to shift, to look at yourself in a new way, and take a real pulse on what's the truth?
Yeah. And, you know, like you mentioned, losing our stuff, that's the truth, because all you need is your loved ones around you and, you know, and breath in your lungs and a beat in your heart. And I learned that. And as you did as well, when you lose things that you think are important, and they are just things. I mean, really, truly, things, a car, a house, bleh.
It's so funny because when I got my divorce, I lost everything.
Yeah.
Every material thing went. And then I lived in Paris in a rental apartment, which is a suitcase full of stuff.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And then it was time to, like, start, you know, building a home again and buying furniture and building. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want. It was like I had to kind of make that choice, and I live in a very thin experience right now because I realize our attachment to stuff is really it robs us of our ability to live as free spirits. And I'm, listen, everybody, enjoy your stuff, but don't need it.
Yes, that's the difference. If you need it to feel a title, or you need it to feel important amongst your friends. I have this one friend who wouldn't get a divorce because she was afraid she wouldn't be able to live, you know, in the means by which she was used to. Yeah, comfortably. And guess what? She's in a you know, house a third the size, and her heart is three times bigger as a result, because she's not around the toxic energy that was bringing her down on a daily basis that she didn't realize was bringing her down, because she didn't know what it felt like to be away from it until she really truly was physically away from it.
Well, I think it's important that we mention this, because as an intuitive guide, and I do so much work talking to people every day on the hour around the world, so many toxic relationships are ending.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who are saying, even though I'm afraid, I don't want to settle for this miserable existence. And I just feel it's important as part of this conversation to say, more power to you. It'll be better.
It will. And the fear, I get it. I lived through it. And I tell people, you know, it will be scary, and it will be, but you will be okay. And there are enough people around you that care about you that are not going to let you starve or let your kids starve. I know a friend of mine wound up at a soup kitchen where they were handing her, you know, crackers and things for the kids at home. Like, they don't want to see her fail. They don't want to see people fail because they're choosing to get out of a toxic relationship. And you don't know.
And
go ahead.
No, it's just we got to look at our relationships if they're based on dependencies, because we're afraid we can't take care of ourselves. Those relationships are going to end anyway.
Right.
Because our planet is evolving, and we're all being required, whether we're on board consciously or not, to grow into our true soul identities.
Yeah.
We are being required. So if we think, no, I'm just going to sit here and settle for this dependency because I don't believe in myself or the universe or my own talents, buckle up.
That's
right. Because something's going to shake that out of you, because that's a lie. That's not a truth of your spirit.
Yeah. And that takes a responsibility. I think we've been called into this time and age because that is required, right? Because we have to elevate the consciousness to get over this swell. Otherwise, everything will disappear. It's like we're at a crossroads. And I wonder if you feel that way, too. Are you hopeful for or are you being realistic that it could go one way or the other? And it's up to us to decide which way it goes.
Yes. Yes, and yes, and more yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's
the
up to us.
The thing is, and this is one thing I teach in two reasons to develop your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
One, to make better decisions.
Yes.
And two, to realize you're never alone.
Mm. Yeah.
You are never, ever alone. There is always divine support available to those who listen.
Yes. And it shows up in different ways.
It shows up in, you know, I just have to say, this is such a fun little anecdote. I have a daughter who's traveling in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And she just took a long bus ride across the country right before we started talking. And she wrote me a panic note saying, "Oh my God, Mom, I am so upset. I left my computer on the bus."
Ooh.
And it has driven away, and I need it. It's my lifeline to everything I'm doing. It's like my computer.
Right.
And I said, "Sonia," she's named Sonia after me, mm-hmm. after my mom, grandmother, just for everybody wondering. I said, "It's okay. Ask your angels to bring it back and don't entertain anything else."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Okay." I said, "I know that's a stretch. The bus drove away. You just realized it." And while we're talking, she just texted me and said, "I got it back." Someone brought it back to me.
See, and so for...
It's like so great.
There we go. And the thing about our angels is they have to be asked, don't they, Sonia? They can't, because of our free will, they have to be, you know, we have to hire them, basically, and give them a task.
And it's a test. You can't collapse. I mean, I'm so happy
mm-hmm.
for her, but I'm also happy that this happened during our conversation, that we can't collapse into appearances and say that is the only reality that exists.
Right.
Because we're always connected both horizontally
mm-hmm.
with other people and with the whole network of energy connecting us on this plane, and vertically with our angels, our guides, our higher self, the divine plan, the Mother, Father, God. So if we open up that grid, and we say, "I'm going to live in this grid that is more than just the world of immediate appearances," mm-hmm. and I'm going to let myself exist in that grid, you know what? You immediately change paradigms, change realities, and life gets a whole lot more interesting and fun and easier. You get help.
You do. And you know, the other thing, too, sometimes if the help doesn't show up the way we think it's going to show up, we think there's no help, but that gift comes in a different package. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So,
and, you know, for example, the divorce.
Yes.
I didn't want to be divorced. Mm-hmm. I was married for 31 years. I didn't want to be divorced.
Right. Right.
I could see at that point what's the gift in this, although it was a very combative marriage. We didn't have the same values and priorities. I'm living in Paris. I'm traveling the world. I have a deeper peace of mind than I've ever had. I've made friends I would never have made. New relationships are opening up. Who knew?
Right.
And I'm intuitive. I knew in my bones, but I didn't know in my logic brain. And we need to know the difference.
So help the listeners understand that difference, because our logic always turns on. So how can we feel it in our body?
Yeah, the logic brain always wants to know the end.
Yeah.
And in your bones, what you have to drop into is what you feel. Not your emotion, because we all are going through a tremendous amount of intense emotion right now. We're burning up, and it's a great night. It's like the super moon.
Right.
Of, you know, it's a huge auspicious time to say, "Look, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
What is not serving me? What in my emotional body is blocking me?" But there's a deeper level of feeling, and it's a vibrational feeling. You have to go into your breath, into your gut, into your heart, and you have to even hum. Mm-hmm. And here's a breath you can do that will help you do that. As you breathe in, mm-hmm. say to yourself, the word so.
Just S-O?
Exhale, say S-O, and as you exhale, say the word hum.
So hum.
So as you breathe in, so hum. And that is the frequency and the sound of the deeply relaxed breath in the body.
Mm. Yeah.
So like so hum. And if you even just do that with a few breaths, you will get quiet.
Yeah. Tell me, Sonia, how you start each day. What is your, you know, is it a so hum meditation? Is it listening to crystal bowls?
Well,
what gets you going every day?
What do I do? I have a pretty solid practice.
Mm-hmm.
I start my morning with my very first breath, and the first thing that when my eyes open with a prayer, thank you for another day.
Yeah.
I've had this forever, and I was taught to say the Our Father because it's the prayer that balances the chakras.
Got it.
So I say that, and then my next moment I say, Holy Spirit, use me this day, move my mind, move my words, move my body, move my spirit, move my emotions in the direction of my highest good and get me out of my own way.
Mm.
That's like in the first 3 minutes of waking up, and it's automatic.
Got it.
Then I do a meditation. I do a practice. It's on my website. It's called the Breath of Life,
mm-hmm.
where I actually, it's a form of what you were doing with the fire breath, where you, I put on, I created the song, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 minutes, I breathe in, breathe out, and I move my body and all my limbs, and it's kind of like a morning dance. But it moves old energy, even
yeah.
energy that might have accumulated in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a deep, what I call a sourcing meditation.
Yeah.
And I listen to a very profound piece of music that moves my spirit. And for the next 10 minutes, I ask all the divine support systems in the universe to feed me.
Yeah.
What I need this day. And my hands are open. My heart is open, my mind is quiet, and I receive.
Mm.
My morning meditation is receiving and allowing and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm done, I ask for support for the intentions I have or to get out of my own way if God has higher intentions for me.
Right.
And the whole thing takes 15 minutes.
Right.
Sounds like a lot.
No.
But it's 15 minutes. And then right before I start my work, at 2 in the afternoon, I do another meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I do a meditation on gratitude, and I ask for my will to step aside and that I can be a servant and a conduit for the highest good of all those I'm blessed to work with.
Yeah.
And then I do another evening meditation where I chant. Because I like to sing and I like to chant, and I chant the miracle mantra, which is a Kundalini mantra.
Yep.
Or I chant maybe a Buddhist mantra because I like to bring closure to my day.
Nice.
And so, and then I ask for divine guidance when I sleep because I go to school when I sleep.
Aha. And when do you ever wake up more tired than when you went to sleep? And if that happens, what does that mean? Does that mean your soul is doing a lot of work? Does that mean you're getting work done? Does that mean you are traveling astrally? What does that mean?
It means a bunch of things. It could mean that you've been working really hard all night. It also could mean you're carrying way too many energies and you're too subjected to intrusive energies while you sleep. So do when you pray at night, just say a prayer to ask that your sleep space be protected and that you be in the highest realm of energy and unconditional love possible.
Yeah.
Now, I have a suggestion for people who wake up super tired, and everybody can just try this because it really works.
Okay.
Just put in your bedside right before you go to bed. You just have a little, like, you know, little tiny bit of water with maybe a eighth to a quarter tablespoon, or teaspoon, rather, of sea salt.
Okay.
And when you wake up, drink that.
Mmm.
When you're first waking up, because what that does is it's a cleanser, cuts cords, it clears the system, it wakes you up, and it really is a detoxifier.
Yeah.
So you don't have to put a tablespoon. Please don't. That's no good. Just a quarter of a teaspoon with maybe 3 ounces of water.
Perfect.
And you will not be all that heavy hangover, dream hangover, will clear.
Perfect.
That's just another little technique that it really does change the physical body and cleanses it.
Now, you mentioned Sonia. You have two daughters, Sonia and Sabrina, and they're both very intuitive. Do you think this is something that runs in families commonly or just in yours?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I got to be a proud mother for a minute. They just wrote their first book with Hay House. It'll be out in the spring.
Woohoo! What's it called?
And it's called You Are Amazing.
Okay.
A Help Yourself Guide to the Real World. And it's for a millennial, cynical millennials who have not really had a lot of influence about just really tuning in and taking the steps to being real. But they both have coaching practices.
Great.
They both do intuitive guidance work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of life for us, but I don't think that it's like if you grew up in a house of musicians.
Dear. Yeah.
And music was a part of your life, you'd probably be pretty musical.
Right. It's like families of doctors or lawyers. It's just the conversation
exactly.
that happens at the table.
It's consciousness.
Yeah.
It's the consciousness that is emphasized. And in our house, it goes back generations for me.
Mm.
To be without your intuition is the worst handicap we could have.
Right.
Helen Keller said that. I mean, it's our compass. It's our connection to who our true self is. And it's not like, oh, my God, can they trust it? It's like, of course you can. It's who you are.
Right.
Trust yourself.
That's exactly it.
And along with that goes and take responsibility for yourself.
True. And when we make a choice that doesn't feel good or doesn't come up with the result that we thought it would, then we blame ourselves and then we go down that rabbit hole. And then that brings all the negative energy back into our space instead of the positive energy.
Well, you know, we're a drive-by culture for the most part, even over here in Europe. You know, there's so much of that, at least in the Western world. It's like, you know, I ordered it, give it to me. What? It didn't come in 5 minutes. What?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, we have to learn to create the space to sit and wait. And if our intuition said and it didn't turn out, maybe you're not at the end. Maybe you're still in the middle.
Right. Right.
And instead of saying, never say, is it right? Just say, am I following what feels true at the deepest level for me right now, or am I running away from it?
Oh, that's good. And, you know, when Trust Your Vibes came out, I swear it was on my bedside with all these dog-eared places.
I'm happy to hear that.
It's great. It was a manual for a very, you know, and still is in a lot of ways. And I recommend that to people. And I think about that.
Yeah.
There are so many friends out there that
put it in the bathroom.
Oh, truly.
It's the perfect bathroom read.
Yeah. It is. It's a grab and go.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day.
It's a full day. We learn in bite sizes.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, I tell people is that sometimes they just need to grab a book like a Trust Your Vibes and ask for guidance on a certain subject and then open to a page and use it like an oracle. And you will be amazed at the guidance that will come through.
Every time.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's like the cards also, that you have many card decks and card decks for beginners. And so some people like to use a card. Some people will use a book. But everybody's gift comes in a different way. And we were talking earlier about clairaudience and claircognizance and clairsentience. For you now, Sonia, what's your strongest clair?
Well, I feel like my whole body is at this point a complete divining rod.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of comes in all levels. It's a clear consciousness, I suppose, because I see it, feel it, sense it. Every part of my being is aligned with intuitive guidance. I don't see it as something coming through one sense or another. It just enters my whole being.
Right.
But not only does it enter my whole being is entered into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I just feel like a divining rod. I feel like a walking pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think much.
Right.
Like when my, you know, when I moved here, my daughter was the one, she said, Mom, you need to move to Paris. And I said, okay.
Right.
Everything felt right. I was here in 90 days.
Right. Yep.
You know, it wasn't like what, how, who, when. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not part of me. But that's because I don't really have another way.
Right.
This way works just fine. This way is a glorious and I think natural way. I don't think we were designed to be second guessing ourselves at every other breath.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I put it out to there to everyone who's listening this right now to just let your intuition take the passenger seat. Give them a seat shotgun and let them be there with you as a partner, because you'll see how it starts to feel the more you do it. I mean, I remember I was asked to do a speaking gig and they asked me to do it on a certain day, and I went to go put it in my calendar and something in my body, Sonia, stopped me. It was like a It was like the brakes went on, and I thought, well, this is interesting. And I got quiet and I heard, am I supposed to commit to this project? And I got quiet and I breathed into my heart and I felt, no, you're not supposed to. But I didn't know why, right? We want the GPS. We want to know where our destination is. And well, what am I going to be doing? I didn't know, but I just knew I wasn't supposed to do that. So I said, no. The lady asked me why. I couldn't give her one. I just said I had a prior commitment. And that's as far as it went. Well, guess what? A few weeks later, I found out that was one of my dearest friend's birthday parties that her son was planning, and he forgot to send me the email.
So, see, I love that.
And I got the call, and they said, well, Jen, you haven't responded. And I said, responded to what? And then they went, oh, we realized we sent it to my old work email, so it never got to me. So there you have it. I wasn't supposed to do that gig.
See how conscious in your body. So here's something I want to tell everybody who's listening. In order to give your intuition a chance, just speak it out loud.
Yeah.
Like I said, my heart says, then you can decide.
Mm-hmm.
But give it a voice.
Yeah.
It's, when you name it, you claim it. When you name it, you claim it.
Perfect.
And if you keep it in your head, it's easy to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start saying, well, what, you even ask yourself, well, what does my intuition say?
Yeah.
And answer out loud. See, that's the key.
Right.
That's my secret.
Yes. The answer is simple.
Out loud.
As you say, the answer is simple. And it really is. We make it so much more complicated than it needs to be.
And it won't come by you figuring it out. You have to speak it out from your heart.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. That's how our angels and guides, while they do hear us intuitively, right? If I sat here and I prayed really hard, yes, there's that way. But there's also the speaking of it. I feel like that, just from a cognitive standpoint, helps our bodies sort of align with it better. Isn't that what you're
well,
Yes,
and it opens the throat chakra, because all your intuition comes from the heart, and the throat chakra is the chimney of the heart, and most people are choked off.
Right. Okay.
That's why chanting's good, breathing's good, singing's good, but just say, my intuition says, and don't make it a big dramatic deal.
Do you also believe in the writing, you know, the unconscious writing? A lot of friends of mine are really into that, and they think that just by the act of scribbling, it helps the messages come through. For me, I find that driving seems to be the best thing. Maybe that's like my version of unconscious writing, but some people really seem to think that's a good way.
Driving allows your brain to rest.
Yeah.
For someone else, maybe writing allows your brain to rest. For someone else, folding the laundry.
Sure.
I call the intellect your barking dog.
Mm-hmm.
Your barking dog goes to sleep in the back seat when you drive so you can hear your spirit.
Yeah.
Someone else, the barking dog goes to sleep when they start journaling. For someone else, it's when they're doing the laundry. For someone else, it's when they're going for a walk. For someone else, it's, you know, just when they're falling asleep. And they're like, rap.
Yeah. Right.
Now I'm giving the intuition, and then you forget it in the morning. But I feel like the thing is, we have to let the barking dog...
Mm-hmm.
Our jittery intellect that always has an opinion and always up, gets quiet.
Yeah.
Then our intuition comes loud and clear. And that's why meditation trains you. But you're not training your mind to be quiet. I just wrote a new book that came out called Your Three Best Superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation, imagination, intuition.
Yeah.
And in that, I say meditation is really about creating space. Let's not make it about going after your thoughts and wrestling them to the ground like a wild dog. Just that you're creating more inner space. space. You're practicing this more inner space, more room to breathe, more space inside. And if you go about it that way, you're going to be a lot more successful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for anybody out there that's curious, go to Sonia's website, sign up for one of the classes, or just pick up your three best superpowers or trust your vibes. You can't go wrong, whether you use it for yourself or you give it to someone else as a gift. I know I'm curious about the 8 weeks to getting your mojo back. That sounds like
a good one.
Sonia Choquette is SoniaChoquette.net. And you do still do private readings, which is an incredible experience, and I know you do consulting as well. You're you know, a combo platter to be admired. So thank you for all you put out there. It's wonderful to talk with you, Sonia, and I hope that we can continue the dialogue.
It was a pleasure, and I send all my love to you and everyone listening.
Absolutely. Our pleasure to have you, and we hope to talk with you soon.
Bye-bye.